Corey. Welcome. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. Can't complain.
Yeah, big Halloween at your house. Did you have lots of kids?
Ran out of candy.
My dad called me. I talked to my dad a couple of times, actually, while we were out trick-or-treating with my grandkids. And then, today, on Sunday, he says, it's the first time in years we've had trick-or-treaters. They live in a cul-de-sac. And they left the light on. They bought candy as they always do. My mom always has enough candy at any given time, even in March. You could go trick or treating, send hundreds of kids there, and she could take care of them all. I guarantee you.
Six bags I bought.
Yeah, we bought four bags, and I ended up giving those to this other couple. We ended up going to a dinner party, and then took all the kids to trick or treating through that neighborhood that we were in. Which was really great. It was awesome. But my dad said the exact same thing. More kids out. So do you think that has anything to do with the economy?
No. Because I looked in a couple of the bags and the containers that they had.
Yeah.
And the kids were just they were just splurging. I mean, they were just going for it. You could tell. And it was interesting because my neighbor bailed me out. She gave me a bunch of she bought, you know, like 10 bags and had a thanks, Gladys. Appreciate it. But I went walking outside, and I said, I'm almost out of candy because I got a little bit more. I'll give you some of mine.
Yeah.
And then by 8:30, I thought it was all over.
Right.
And then quarter to nine, the teenagers started coming by.
Wow. Oh, yeah, okay.
The teenagers.
9 o'clock is teenager time.
Yep.
It was about 9:15. My wife and I took our grandkids back over to my daughters and son-in-law's. And to put them to bed, and they were going to stay there for a few more minutes and visit. And we got over there, and I saw some teenagers walking around. It was after 9 o'clock. It was crazy. And then I had to go down to the corner store and get some gas in my truck. So I pull up to the pump, and I see this clan of families, and they're over in the kind of the side corner of this convenience store parking lot. And they look like they're having a great time. The kids are all dressed up. Looks like they just got done trick-or-treating. I look over, and I've got like three bags of candy still left because I didn't take them inside. So I had leftover candy. I pull up, and there's this kid. He's probably 12 years old. I said, hey, buddy. And I tossed him like three bags, unopened bags of candy. Thank you so much. And his sister gets out, and I gave her some. It was just great. It ended up being a really great night. Perfect weather.
So you're the kind of person that would give crack to an addict, apparently.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I absolutely would when it comes to kids.
You know,
I'm going to do that.
Very quickly. Monty, hang on. We'll be right with you.
Yeah.
We're talking candy
here. We're talking something important.
Actually,
yeah.
in my case, you asked whether you think it was the economy. Hmm. People might have said, let's stay close to home and have the kids go trick-or-treat instead of having a party or going to a party or something like that. My situation, though, is I live in a relatively new subdivision. 2 years ago, no kids.
Right.
None.
Right.
Last year, I was out of town, so I didn't know what to expect. So I said, okay, I get six bags of candy, and I'll eat the candy for the next 2 months. Thank goodness that's not the case, and I got rid of it all. So
yeah, that's why I was grateful to catch that kid there. Just as I looked down and realized that I had that candy left over as I was getting back in my truck from gassing up, glad to give it away. Trooper Monty Dial is here, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol. It is Ask the Law for Tuesday, November 2nd, 2009. Just hit me. We are 1 year away from the midterm elections.
It's not Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm sorry. For Monday, November 2nd. See, that's what I had my... Thank you. That's where I had my mind. I have my mind on Tuesday, November 2nd, 2010. That's where everything is going to change.
Oh, yeah.
I just know it. This is Monday, November 2nd, 2009, and all the information, the questions and answers are up to date. They can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Drivers, you can also go anytime and get your CMV questions answered there at askthelaw.org. All you have to do is click on that big red button that says email Ask the Law. Again, askthelaw.org. Click on the big red button. Anytime with your questions. If you want to get on board, you got a question about CSA 2010, you got a question or a comment, while you can comment, Trooper Dial will not be commenting as far as opinions are concerned on the new movement on hours of service. We'd love to take your call, 800-288-9227. Drivers, get on board. But if you have a question, that's what we're here for. Question about hours of service, question about regulatory items, question about CSA 2010. We'll try and answer everything we know. Well, Trooper Dial will. I will just shut up. Let's talk about this latest movement on hours of service, Trooper Dial. Public Citizen and other groups have challenged it, and this was they're blaming everything on the Bush administration, as many always do. Now it looks like they are going to, well, it doesn't look like, they are going to review and reconsider the hours of service rule, and there may be a new rule by next summer. What do we know here? What's happened in the last few days? When I get a call, by the way, when I get a call at home and I'm asleep from Lyndon Finney, the editor of The Trucker, I know it's big. And
yeah.
I got one a couple of times. We've talked over the last few days about this. What do you know, and what should we expect?
It will be a entirely new set of rules.
Yeah. Looks like they'll scrap it, go back to the drawing board. Now there could be similar. It could look similar. Obviously, it will look similar. But there are going to be some, what I think a lot of people are, and I'm included here, are expecting big change here. Are you hearing that? Are you seeing that in other reports?
Oh yeah, there's going to be some big changes.
Yeah,
and I think before it's all said and done, there will be additional court challenges.
Mm.
I don't know that there's going to be anything that's going to make anybody happy.
No, I don't think. I think any rule will always be challenged by some group.
And my only advice to the drivers that are out there listening, when FMCSA posts the notice of proposed rulemaking, that is your chance. Irregardless of whether you like the current hours now, you do like the current rules, you don't like what's being proposed, or you like what's being proposed, you need to get on the internet, find out what they are, and there are means where drivers can voice their opinion. And I think a lot of decisions that are going to be made will be made off of opinions posted not only by the big trucking companies, but also drivers that have a strong feeling about the rules being proposed.
Well, one of the things that we saw during, I believe this was the 2005 rules. So this would have been in the months leading up to it, when there was always a proposed rulemaking, and then during that proposed rulemaking, they have what you just mentioned, the public comment period. One of the things that I noticed, and I was keeping track of it through the website, the government's website, it was, at least online, it was a very disappointing turnout.
Yes.
Now, I know that we had large industry representatives. I know that we had the fleets out there, and we had other representatives from the industry that represent groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
Nonetheless, the number of replies during that public comment period was disappointing. It was in the low hundreds. I want to say it was only 200 or 300.
Yeah.
That has to be, if we're going to have this situation clarified, if we're going to have public comment periods, we absolutely have to take advantage of those. That's my opinion. But I think it's part of this whole process. That's the reason they have it, is they want your opinion. And we have given out the website, I don't know, countless times during those public comment periods. Is there reason to believe that we're going to see any movement on EOBRs, electronic onboard recorders, as we move forward with this? Has there been, in the reports that you've seen over the last few days on this hours of service movement, has there been anybody that has mentioned that, anybody that suggested that we tackle both, that you know of?
I think from all the information that I'm reading, you take and look at some of the large fleets in the United States.
Mm.
Most of them are already switching over and are going to the electronic onboard recorders. I think up until the announcement that was made last week, I would have almost bet that that would have been probably Ann Farrell's probably first job once she is appointed. is this implementing the EOBRs. And I think, like I say, from the articles that I'm reading, that's probably going to be the one thing that will keep the current hours as close to what they are, is with the implementation of EOBRs.
Well, you mentioned Ms. Farrell. When she becomes the FMCSA director, it looks like there's, in fact, as the Senate committee approved her last week, there was a lot of cry out from the same public interest groups that are challenging the hours of service rule. And the reason is because she has said publicly that she supports the current hours of service rule that's
correct.
In place now, the 2005 rule. I tend to believe, just my opinion here, I tend to believe that the administration, though, will lean on her to make a change.
Yes.
And I think she can easily, as a part of this administration, say, look, while I support that hours of service rule, I think we can do better, and this is how we're going to do better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we'll move closer to the change. I think my concern is that many in the industry were going to get some kind of false hope in that Farrell's nomination being approved and her ultimate appointment would give somebody false hope that the hours of service rule wouldn't change. I tend to believe that it will nonetheless.
Oh, yes, it will change, and I think that was probably one of the main reasons that the watchdogs backed off and came up to an agreement of letting her being nominated or passed by the Senate was the fact that they could get some assurances that she will go in and make some changes. Whether or not it's something that they agree to, I don't know, but I think the biggest thing that the advocacy groups want is the fact that they want EOBRs. And I think
right.
with them backing off and allowing her to go ahead and be appointed as the secretary, I just see that as EOBRs are going to be required on trucks around the corner.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that here in just a few minutes. So stand by if you want to get on board. You got questions about CSA 2010. Well, there's a whole other issue that we need to talk about. For those who don't know about CSA 2010, we'll explain some of the basics and also take your calls and text messages. You can send us a text at 68683. Make sure MRN are the first three letters. Again, 68683, MRN as the first three letters. It is Ask the Law, brought to you by a public service of Old Blue USA. Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial of Old Blue USA is here. Make sure that you get on board now, and we'll get to your questions and answers and more information on Hours of Service, CSA 2010, and more in just a moment. It's the Midnight Radio Network, 800-288-9227, and Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial in the studio with us. I'm Gary McNamara, along with Eric Harley.
Yes, we are here. And you know, it's funny because our engineers told me there was absolutely nothing wrong with our CD player. No, Eric, everything's just fine. We got it fixed. We couldn't find the problem when we went in there. It must be you. 800-288-9227, but I digress. Let's talk about CSA 2010. Got a couple of minutes here before the break, Monty. CSA 2010, there are some... A lot of the focus has been, what I've heard over the last couple of weeks, has been on drivers and driver health. If there were going to be a priority in some of these new CSA initiative, this whole CSA 2010 initiative, would you say it starts with the driver health, or is there any way to weight the importance of any one issue there?
Driver health is probably one of the big things that they're going to be looking at. I know that a lot of the advocacy groups in the 2004 hours of service, that mm-hmm. was one of the things that they kept harping on was, hey, you were supposed to come up with some hours of service that were supposed to be advantageous for driver health.
Right.
And yet we don't seem to be getting that with what you have. So hopefully with CSA 2010, this will be a something that will get them closer
mm-hmm.
to monitoring the driver health.
Right, right. We're going to talk more about some of the basics, the seven basics here under CSA 2010 in just a few minutes. In case you don't know about CSA 2010, I think it's something that, in fact, I'm not the only one that believes that it's something that's going to change the industry, and you need to be prepared for this. And there's movement, new movement, on this that will begin in December of this year. So stand
yes.
by for that. Ask the Law continues in just a moment. Stand
on
by.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
And we're here with Ask the Law. Retired Senior Trooper Imani Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA. And we are here live on this Monday, not a Tuesday, November 2nd, 2009. And we are talking with Trooper Dial about CSA 2010 and more. If you've got a question, 800-288-9227. The answers given on this program are up to date as of today and can change without notice. If you have a question, any question, CMV question for the folks there at Old Blue USA, just go to askthelaw.org, click on that big red button that says email Ask the Law, and tell them you heard it on the Midnight Radio Network. Let's talk about a couple of things. First of all, CSA 2010, one of the things that we discussed the last time you were on was the fact that there is a part of this initiative is actually rolling out in 2009.
Yes.
In December, they're going to start building this driver database, this database of information, and it is, and they actually even call it the driver hiring database as a part of CSA 2010. It is designed to collect what information, what all can go into this database, and why are they putting this together?
Well, it's going to be a database where a driver, when he goes in and puts an application in with the motor carrier, the driver will have to sign a release. The prospective employer will go in and log in to the database. They will enter the driver's name, his driver's license number, and the state. What it will do is it will bring up any roadside inspection that he has gone through
mm-hmm.
Within the last 2 years. It will also show if he had any DOT recordable crashes within the last 2 years. So that's pretty much what the database is limited to now. One of the things that it will not have is if you have a incident, whether it be a backing or a turning, that does not meet the DOT recordable, it will not show up on the database.
Okay.
So the DOT recordables are any vehicle towed from the scene, anybody hauled off in an ambulance,
right,
or anybody killed. Those will be the DOT recordables that will show up on this database.
All right. When it comes to an inspection, what items should drivers be worried about that might show up on this database?
All violations will show up. If it's recorded on the roadside inspection form, that violation will show up on this pre-screening form
right.
that the company will get. It does not list whether or not a citation was or was not issued. It will, however, show if the violation resulted in the vehicle and or driver being placed out of service.
So you don't even have to get a ticket in order for this
right.
to show up.
Correct.
Wow.
If you're doing a roadside inspection and we go through there and we make a notation that you had a defective license plate lamp,
mm-hmm.
it shows up on this database.
All right. Now there are seven basics here under CSA 2010.
Mm-hmm.
This is for those who don't know CSA 2010, a major FMCSA initiative to what the FMCSA says to improve the effectiveness of the agency's compliance and enforcement programs. This is from CSA2010.com, the website that they've put together on this. There are four major elements. One is measurement, two is intervention, three is safety evaluation and information technology, and four is compass. Now, the basics here, the measurement system, would group the safety performance data of motor carriers and drivers into seven categories called the basics, behavioral analysis safety improvement categories. That's the acronym. The seven basics are: number one, unsafe driving; number two, fatigued driving; number three, driver fitness; number four, controlled substances and alcohol; number five, vehicle maintenance; number six, improper loading and cargo; and number seven, the crash indicator. We'll start with the last first, crash indicators. What are we looking for here on crash indicators? What are they looking for? Are they looking back? Does this kind of go back to that old truck crash causation study type approach where we're looking at what all the factors were involved?
No, what they're looking at is violations that would indicate that the driver has the propensity of being involved in crashes, like unsafe lane change,
right.
Following too close, things of that nature that would indicate that the driver, based upon his actions and how he controls his vehicle, would likely cause a crash.
So basically the behavioral patterns of
right.
that driver that look like he just simply isn't practicing, or she, practicing safe driving.
Correct.
Yeah, that might lead that at one point could, I guess, end up, any of those items could end up on a truck crash causation study.
Yes.
All right, and getting back to the driver fitness, we talked about this. New DOT physical requirements. What do we know about those requirements? Because I'm hearing from all ends of the industry. I was in Tulsa not too long ago. You've been talking about this. And now there seems to be a greater concern for these DOT physical requirements that'll be a part of CSA 2010. What should drivers know? Is this mostly about sleep apnea? Is this about everything and anything under the sun when it comes to driver health?
Well, I think one of the things a couple of the big things that they've been talking about, one has to do with the sleep apnea.
Right.
And as of yet, I haven't read anything. I know that they're looking at going off of a body mass index.
Yeah.
As of yet, I haven't heard, there's some numbers floating around out there, but as far as a concrete number that we can take to the driver and say, yeah, if you have a body mass index over this amount, then you've got to go through a sleep study.
Okay, that concerns me, and again, this is my opinion only, but that concerns me because the body mass index has put professional athletes on the obese level simply because of how much muscle, how much they weigh
right.
in proportion to their height.
Michael Jordan couldn't drive a truck.
Yeah, Michael Jordan. Well, Michael Jordan would be forced to go through a sleep
right.
study.
Right.
Shaquille O'Neal, all these guys who are certainly, or at least at one point, were at the top of their game physically, would have to go through a sleep study, and I'm just guessing here that the driver is going to be required to pay for the sleep study.
Yes, but here again, once he goes through it, if he has this body mass index over this number,
right,
and they say, well, we can't sign off on your medical until you go through it.
Right.
He goes through it, he doesn't have to go through it again.
Right. And I've heard other measurement standards, like what they look for at some of the signs, or what could be involved when you have sleep apnea. For instance, if your neck is larger than 17 inches or this and that, and they've got all of this, these companies that do the sleep apnea studies, the sleep studies to look for sleep apnea, are already there. They're already out in force right now in preparation for this whole thing. It makes me wonder, though, what I have to question is, these companies are advertising, please come get your sleep study so that we know if you suspect you have it, or if you want to prepare for CSA 2010, you've had a sleep study recently. I wonder if there are new standards that would come along in DOT physical requirements that might negate those sleep study results and force that driver to go through another sleep study.
We won't know until
we get the final number.
Until we get the final number.
Right.
As well as another piece of the puzzle is going to be this national registry
right.
of doctors.
Yeah.
And so, like I say, FMCSA is in the review process because they've already announced their notice of proposed rulemaking on this.
Mm.
So they're in the reviewing of it, and hopefully they'll get that out next year
right.
Sometime. So once they, once they get this national registry done, once they get this medical advisory board in place, along with the standards on when a driver will be required to do the sleep study,
mm-hmm.
Hopefully all of that will go in place sometime by 2010,
right.
the latter part of next year.
Right. 800-288-9227 if you've got a question for Trooper Dial. We'll take your questions, your comments as well, if you'd like to comment on CSA 2010 or hours of service. But we know a lot of drivers, long before the hours of service rule changed under the original hours of service rule, we had questions and probably could have done that show forever with as many questions as there were on a rule that had been around for decades. Just always amazes me to think about that. But if you want to call in, do that at 800-288-9227. If you want to send us a text, we'll get that question on the air. You can text us at 68683. Make sure MRN are the first three letters. And we're back with Trooper Dial and Ask the Law in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial in studio with us, Gary McNamara, along with Eric Harley.
Yes, it is Ask the Law, courtesy of Old Blue USA for November 2nd, 2009. All the questions and answers are up to date, but can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinion only. You got some CMV questions. Maybe you have a whole list of CMV questions. Well, all you have to do is go to askthelaw.org, click on the big red button that says email Ask the Law. Tell them you heard it on the Midnight Radio Network. I got an email in, and I think we got this question late last time you were here, and driver wants to know, when does a speed limit take effect? Is it at the point of the sign or when the sign becomes visible to the driver?
At the point of the sign.
So right at that point, mm-hmm. that's where that zone starts.
Yes.
All right. Do you know if that's the case in every state?
Not in every state. I do know that is the way it is
Texas.
In Texas.
All right. And I have, usually when I see it, that's when I start to slow down or speed up, as the case may be. So there you have it. Thank you for that question. If you want to text us a question, 68683, you got another question about hours of service. I think we're going to have plenty of questions that come out of CSA 2010 and the new hours of service rule, whatever that looks like, in the coming year. Electronic onboard recorders was part of supposed to be a part of a highway bill. We had heard some more movement on that, and that it may be a part of a new highway bill in the coming months, or maybe more talk about something like that. In just a few minutes. So I want to get your take on that and what we might expect and the current use of electronic onboard recorders and what drivers can expect if they're going through a roadside inspection. It is Ask the Law, and we're back in just a moment
on the Midnight Radio Network.